Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Midwest Madness, your true crime cult conspiracy encrypted podcast. I'm Emily.
And I'm Daniel.
And
I have something for you.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
What?
It's something dumb, but I just thought to celebrate you getting done with your second degree / certification. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Actually third, because you also have your bartending license.
I do. I have my degree in mixology.
So Miss Ma'am's collecting degrees.
Yeah.
I stopped at Toby's.
Oh.
And I got you either a caramel roll or a cinnamon roll. Which one would you like?
Ooh, what one's better? I think I'm more of a cinnamon roll girl.
Okay. So yeah. I will get you that. Thank you. I didn't want to forget that I had it for you.
Thank you. That's very nice.
So congratulations.
Yes. So I never said anything on the podcast, but I went back to school and I got my paralegal cert through Boston University. So just finished up that program.
Which is part of the reason why we didn't record last week and we had that off week.
I had my final. So
yeah, so I mentioned it on the socials. The post. So
yeah, and then I also was traveling for work, so right. It just kind of was a bad, and it was a holiday, so
yep, kind of a crazy
whammy.
Yeah,
but thank you. I appreciate that.
So congratulations. I know it's not super exciting, but Toby's has pretty fucking baller cinnamon rolls. Hey, so
it's more than anyone else did, so I appreciate that. What else was I gonna say?
Yeah, sorry, I kind of derailed us immediately.
That's okay. I didn't really have much to talk about, if I'm being honest, I don't think. I just had my work trip, and...
And you said you were just pooped when you got home?
Yeah, it's just a lot. You know, you're just going, and...
Yeah, I'm dog-sitting by you for the next 2 weeks.
Wow, that's a long time.
They're going to Europe.
Oh, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
When do you start?
Tuesday, so...
Is it that house that you were at before?
No. Almost that same area, a little bit further south, I think.
Okay.
A little bit further west. I don't know. It's right.
Same
it's,
neighborhood?
No, it's over that way, though.
Okay.
So, if you want to get together for some walkie-walkies.
I believe you have an Alexa alarm going off in your room.
Oh, shit. I probably do.
We can pause.
Yeah.
I'll just fill the space, the dead space. We can talk about how the Timberwolves just won their playoff game. Game four, so now they're up 3-1 against the Lakers. Go Wolves. They go back to LA for Wednesday, and if they win on Wednesday, then the series is over. So let's go.
Sorry.
Timberwolves. Ooh. Okay.
The hardest part about that was getting around the dogs.
Yeah. All right. We can just get right into my story.
I have no idea where you're at because I told you where I was at. So usually if one of us tells the other one doesn't tell. So
why I also hadn't started. I wrote mine this morning, so.
Yeah, so aren't you glad I told you where I was yesterday?
Yeah, sure.
Because then you don't accidentally do the same one.
Yeah. So I, because I was in my third favorite state this week, I thought I would do a story from Ohio.
Ohio's your third favorite state?
I fucking love Ohio.
Really?
I don't know why.
That is a controversial opinion.
Actually, I think I do
opinion.
Know why. I think it's because, like, the look of Ohio is very southern.
Okay.
So like all the buildings are like the brick buildings, like they're fast food restaurant, like everything just looks nicer.
Mm-hmm.
But it has like the Midwest people feel.
Got it. So it's like southern home
but better. Not southern home. So I don't, people from the south are kind of
no, but I mean like southern aesthetic of home of Minnesota, because the Midwestern vibes are still there.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I might not. I'm just not understanding what you're saying. But
yeah, I think we're saying the same thing. I think
I just love Ohio.
Interesting. What are your first? What are the
in Minnesota, Nebraska?
I was gonna say Nebraska. Yeah. Right.
I
up
always
there.
Just joke. It's not really. I do love Nebraska, and obviously these aren't actually my favorite states, but Minnesota's number one.
Well, obviously,
yeah.
It's Minnesota is a cult.
Yeah, it is. And we're proud of it.
Hell yeah.
Oh, I have one thing to say. Allie texted me yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was just a picture of Sleep Token's new song that dropped on Friday. And she said, I like this one.
Stop.
And I almost cried.
Oh my God.
And she's like, it showed up on my new music Friday. And I listened to it and I liked it. And I was like,
yay.
Text her back. I said, nothing could ruin this day for me.
Yay.
So just makes me happy when people I love things that I love.
Yeah.
Or like things that I love.
I get that.
So that was my piece of exciting news. It is a really good song.
It did not show up on mine, but
it's definitely more of a like, I would say their other two are more like your typical straight Sleep Token songs, where they're very like, they have that kind of like hard aspect to it at some point. And this one's very just like, I wouldn't say chill, but it's like just very straightforward.
Is it more melodic?
It's not like Missing Limbs. Not the one you like.
Yeah.
But it's not the Summon. I don't know.
Okay.
It's in the middle.
You'll have to send it to me.
I will. You'll like it.
Yeah.
If I'm sure she likes it, she'll like, you'll like
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I'm sure I will.
It's called Damocles.
Ooh, that's a good name.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the story of Damocles?
Vaguely.
Greek mythology?
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think... let me just get into my story.
Yeah, let's go.
Because I want to get home, and it is quite late already, so...
I get that.
Okay, so, in Ohio, and I'm going to be talking about the disappearance of Beverly Potts. So, 10-year-old Beverly Potts was the youngest daughter of Robert and Elizabeth Potts. And she had one older sister who was 22, so quite a bit older than her.
Yeah, that's
12
a big
years.
Age gap.
Yeah, and I think her sister did live at home, okay. from what I understand. The family was middle class and lived in Cleveland, Ohio. Her father worked as a stagehand at the Allen Theater in downtown Cleveland, and her mother was a stay-at-home mom. Her sister worked as a clerk at the National Cash Register Company. And Beverly was known as, like, she's very quiet, responsible, an obedient child. She was close to her parents. She loved to dance and music. She was tall for her age, and this would cause people to believe that she is maybe at least 1 or 2 years older than what she actually was.
Okay.
She was a popular student who was smart and attentive. She was also known to be very shy and timid, especially around older males.
I'm sorry, I already forgot. What year is this?
19. I didn't say. It's 1954.
Oh, okay, I was going to say.
1951. Sorry.
Okay. Okay.
Throughout her childhood, Beverly had a curfew, which she was very good at sticking to. She knew that if she didn't make it home in time, she would be grounded. So one day in mid-August 1951, Beverly and her cousin arrived home slightly later than agreed upon, and because of this, Beverly's mom, Elizabeth, told her that she was no longer allowed to attend an upcoming annual performance show that was going to be held at the nearby Halloran Park on August 24th. It was like one of those kid shows that they put on in parks in the summer,
okay.
kind of thing, you know?
So like an arts in the parks kind of situation.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. But Elizabeth also knew how much her daughter loved the performing arts and knew that she was really looking forward to attending the show. So on the afternoon of the performance, she told Beverly that she was able to attend the show as long as she promised to return home immediately after.
So no hanging out with your friends.
Right. So she was 10. I don't know how much.
Well, if your friends are at an event,
yeah,
you know, usually your parents are going to let you stay for a little while and like chill and play. I mean, remember how long we used to stay at church?
Yeah,
maybe, but go for the 9:30 service and be there at noon still.
Yeah, the only thing is, like, our parents were there. She's going to this, like,
that's true.
Alone.
That's true.
So I think it's a little different. But so August 24th, 1951, Beverly had supper with her family, assisted her mother with cleaning the dishes, and then rode to the West Cleveland Halloran Park with her best friend and neighbor, Patricia Swing. The performance was for children and scheduled to start at 8 p.m. that night. So let's remember 8 p.m. in August, though. So it's still
pretty light.
Going to be light out.
Yeah. Yep. And there's no school. So that helps too.
The park was only, and I'm assuming this was probably a weekend if I had to guess. But
yeah,
I didn't look up what date August 24th, 1951 was.
That's fair.
The park was only about a quarter of a mile from the Potts' home. So they left their homes on bike at 6:55 p.m., Beverly was dressed in a reddish pink turtleneck shirt, blue denim jeans, a navy blue jacket, and brown Carrie Brooke shoes. The two girls arrived to the park by 6:58 p.m. So it literally took them 3 minutes to bike there.
Okay.
According to Patricia, when the two arrived to the park, they said hello to two girls they knew, but other than that, they talked to no one. Because of how packed the park was that night, the two girls decided to leave around 8:10 p.m. to return their bikes home and walk back to the park because they were having a hard time, like, navigating
maneuvering
bikes around all the people.
Okay.
They were back to the park by 8:30 p.m. At approximately 8:45, Patricia, who had promised she would be home before dark, suggested that the two of them walk home, but Beverly had been given permission to stay until the end of the performance that was scheduled to be done around 9 p.m., so she opted to watch the rest of the performance, and Patricia left the park and returned home by 8:50 p.m. She later told investigators that the last time she saw Beverly was in the crowd watching the dancers on stage. By 9:30 p.m., the performance had ended, and the about 1,500 people, which
holy cow,
a lot,
yeah,
who had showed up to watch the event started to head home. At this time, a 13-year-old boy named Fred Krause believes he saw Beverly walking diagonally across the park in the northeasterly direction. This would have been on the way, like, towards her house.
Okay.
And Fred, who lived on the same street as Beverly, was somewhat familiar with her, so they feel pretty confident that he would have been able to recognize her.
Yeah. It's not like, maybe I saw someone wearing the same outfit. It was like, no, she's my neighbor.
Yeah. Beverly's description... Other witnesses thought they saw a girl matching Beverly's description talking to two young men in a 1937 or 38 Dodge Coupe. Several people put this sighting between 8:30 and 9:30 p.m. Now, we obviously probably know that's probably closer to the 9:30, not like, because Patricia her and Beverly there, were right? her best friend. Yeah, we're still there. Was there around 8:30 still.
Okay.
So,
okay.
The final potential sighting was around 9:45 p.m., close to the intersection of West 110th Street and Baltic Avenue. The sighting was reported by an unidentified woman who informed investigators she had observed a dark-colored 1948 coupe driven by a man speeding north on Baltic Avenue with a child in the back who was obviously distressed. The woman said the child's hands were bound behind her back. She was thrashing and repeatedly shouting, quote, "I want to get out," end quote.
Oh my God, that's really sad.
Now, I have a hard
time. If it's true.
I have a hard time. I'm going to say take that last one with a grain of salt, because I don't know how you can see it if someone was bound in a moving car at what time? 9:45 p.m.?
That's a really good point, especially back then.
Yeah.
It's not like they had the LED light in the front of the car. Right. Or any. Yeah.
Right. That's there's no like light up dash even probably at that time. You know what I mean? Really good point. I just don't know I don't know how well you can actually see.
Right.
So,
especially if the car is moving. Like, if the car was stopped, that's one thing.
And they say...
You're, like, right next to it, or I don't know.
Speeding north on Baltic Avenue. That's how it was described. So, I would assume it was moving at a pretty good clip.
Yeah. I mean, I could understand maybe hearing something.
Yes, that. But the being bound, I don't know. Just keep taking that one with a grain of salt.
Little embellishment, maybe.
When Beverly hadn't returned home by 10 p.m., her family called Patricia's, only to be told that their daughter had already returned home alone almost an hour prior, and that Beverly had remained at the park.
Ugh, would your heart not just sink?
Yeah. At this point, Beverly's father and sister started to search the area. This is why I think her sister lived at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they began by retracing the steps Beverly would have taken home. Then moved on to searching the park itself, but when they didn't find anything, the two returned home and her sister began phoning friends and family to see if anyone had seen her. At approximately 10:57 p.m., with no sign of Beverly, the family contacted the police to report her missing. The first officer arrived at the home, and after searching to see if she was hiding out somewhere, because sometimes that does happen when a child is hiding in the home.
Remember Balloon Boy?
Yeah, checking the bike to see if it was at the home, which it was, and then looking to see if any of her clothing was missing, which it wasn't. Basically, they were just checking.
Making sure she didn't run away.
Didn't run away, right. Yeah.
Especially because she'd been in trouble, right?
Like, yeah, previously.
Yeah, so maybe.
And maybe she was like, you know, maybe she did miss curfew again, and maybe she was nervous to come home and, you know, who knows. But after they had concluded that clearly wasn't the case, they immediately began searching the immediate vicinity and questioning friends, family, and acquaintances, as well as people who had attended the performance. By daylight on August 25th, a large-scale statewide hunt was on for Beverly. Beverly's immediate family was cleared very quickly after all three agreed to and passed a lie detector test. We know our thoughts on lie detector tests, but this was 1951,
right?
And I don't think the family had anything to do with it anyway. So
no,
doesn't matter. With these mass searches going, though, nothing was ever found. We did have a lot of, like, tips and stuff come in.
Yeah.
Obviously, but nothing was really ever, like, definitive.
Okay.
So, just a few days later, on August 29th, police arrested a suspect in the case named William Slates. William was a 29-year-old unemployed serviceman who had been previously arrested in 1949 for making sexual advances towards an 8-year-old girl at a movie theater. So we know that he has the
history? M.O.
Yeah. I guess that's the better way to say it. Apparently, the day after Beverly's disappearance, William boarded up his home, borrowed his friend's car, and left town. He was found in Columbus and brought back to Cleveland. And although two of William's friends gave conflicting accounts of his movements on the evening of Beverly's disappearance, and a polygraph indicated deception, he was released when his 17-year-old girlfriend provided an alibi claiming the two had been together.
That's gross, too.
How old was he? 29. Yeah, that is gross.
Yeah. Anything over, like, 21 would have been gross.
Yeah.
At 17.
No, after this, the case did unfortunately go cold, and we have not had any really updates, I guess, much since then. Their scenario, or like the theories the police have, were their main two theories were ransom, but no ransom was ever called or asked for
anything.
And then the other one was obviously like
kidnapped, murder,
and sexual assault thing. Yeah. You know, more on that side.
All the bad stuff.
Yeah.
So not that ransom is not a bad thing.
Neither of them are good options. But so they just strongly believe that the motive was likely sexual, and they also believe that it could potentially be that it was somebody she knew, because she was known to be very timid and nervous and shy of adult males.
Right.
And so they're like, she wouldn't have
just gone with somebody.
No, that's just not something she would have done. And especially think about how many, logically we're thinking about it, 3 minutes away, there's 1,500 people.
Mm-hmm.
If she was being taken by somebody she didn't know, wouldn't you think like,
she would have caused a ruckus.
Somebody would have saw something or something. Like, obviously, we don't know what the person could have been like. I have a gun. If you make a noise, I'll whatever. You know, we don't know. But I think it kind of makes some logical sense that maybe it was someone that she knew.
Or someone that she, like, at least recognized and was like, oh, I'm friends with your sister, or oh, I'm friends with your mom, or whatever, you know, like could give her some sort of information that made it easier to get her to do what they wanted.
Yep. So unfortunately, there were a few,
leads?
I guess, in a way, not really leads, just like the case kind of popped up a few times throughout the years, but nothing ever really came of it.
Potential leads?
Yeah, tips maybe, I guess, would be a good way to say it. But yeah, unfortunately, this
is an unsolved.
Is an unsolved case now.
I feel like it's been a while since you've done an unsolved.
It has been. Obviously, her family is no longer with us anymore. Her sister did die in 2006. So that is where we are.
That's today. Always so hard.
So hopefully they got some answers in the afterlife, I guess.
Yeah.
Now my sources were wikipedia.org, paramountobserver.com, and reddit.com.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was probably somebody that she at least recognized, if not knew pretty well. Because like with her being so shy around stranger, unless it was a woman, and it could have been but
definitely happens.
It's statistically a lot more rare, as we know, but
like a woman could have lured who knows. Unfortunately, this I don't think is one we might
probably not
never get an answer to,
probably.
So all right, you want to do our socials?
They are Midwest Madness Podcast at gmail.com or no, sorry, MW Madness Podcast@gmail.com, and then Midwest Madness Podcast on Facebook and MW Madness on Instagram.
Cool. Well, we hope you guys have a great rest of your week.
And I hope you enjoyed the picture of Sieva last week.
Oh, yes. And go Wolves and go Wild.
Yes.
All right.